Not every policeman can boast of this awareness. But there's more to Milwaukee's attack. Chief Paul Seen again.
The traffic officer, if he knows of a felony being committed, or if he observes any violations of the law, including gambling, he must take immediate action, and he also must report the fact to his commanding officer. Every uniformed member, from the captain down to the patrolman, together with the members of the detective division, are equally held responsible for the enforcement of all the laws, and this means all.
That's an angle. In many cities, the cops on the beat won't get mixed up with a gambling arrest, and the vice squad officer doesn't bother with robberies. Chief Paul Seen is Milwaukee's fourth chief since 1888. He holds his job for life, or until he gives cause for removal. He was appointed by the police commission. Its members were nominated by the mayor, confirmed by the city council. There are enough barriers to prevent any quick switch of chiefs from one mayor to another. Down the hall from Chief Paul Seen's office, you meet First Deputy Inspector Hugo Galen, in charge of the vice squad for the past 15 years. He tells you what the squad has done to break up gambling. First, how to discourage the customers.
We stationed police officers in front of gambling houses and picketed the same as you would at a strike, questioning all the people who wanted to enter. And in that way, you discouraged the businessman, the doctor, the lawyer, and the man who had lots of money to spend in gambling houses from frequenting these places.
Sometimes police want to get into places and the gamblers want to keep them out. What then, Inspector Galen?
The gambling houses put up steel barred doors with large bolts going into the floor. And to offset that, we got what we call Big Bertha. The ramrod weighed about 450 pounds. Took four men to handle to break down these doors. When we couldn't get through the doors, we would go through the wall.
Every city has politics, even Milwaukee. Some people think it's Milwaukee's election system that keeps the city in good shape. Robert Gordon, head of the American Veterans Committee, Zeidler Post, talks about elections.
The city of Milwaukee is unique in relation to the system of electing its municipal officials, the nonpartisan election system. Responsibility is based upon an individual's own merit. It eliminates the possibility of political machines. And anyone who has lived in a municipality in which a political machine has gained hold knows what a problem it is to eliminate that. Milwaukee ticks because we don't have a proposition of political machine. We elect our individuals and we defeat our individuals on the basis of their platforms and their own personalities.
So we have another explanation. And then we run into an historical approach from a veteran labor leader who goes way back to figure it out. We listen to the AF-L's regional director for Wisconsin, J.F. Friedrich, as he tells us about the type of people who first settled in Milwaukee.
Many of them were Germans who came over because of political persecution in Germany and proceeded to build a local government embodying a great deal of idealism. Many were socialists, and when later the socialist group got control of the city of Milwaukee in 1911. Among the many people whom they put into responsible positions were labor men, and that is true even today. That, I believe, has kept up the interest of the people in their government and has led to a government which does try to respond to the wishes and protect the best interests of the common people.
Now we go to the source of much knowledge about many people. The men who usually know just about what there is to know about any town, the taxi drivers. Reporter Ed Scott asks a simple question.
Do you know any place where I can place a horse bet? No, I don't know of any place in the city of Milwaukee for the past 3 or 4 years that you could make a horse bet.
I don't know of any place for the last 8 or 9 years.
Well, I don't know of a place in Milwaukee where you could at all.
We're now at the plant of the Milwaukee Sentinel, one of the city's two newspapers, and we sit beside the desk of publisher Frank Taylor, tell him our mission, and hand him the microphone.
Milwaukee is singularly free from the operations of organized criminals and racketeers. Much of the credit belongs to a vigilant and resourceful press, which exposes and fights any attempt of gangsters to get started. With the press and public solidly behind our capable law enforcement agencies, Milwaukee continues to be America's most crime-free large city.
We tracked down veteran reporter Cy Rice, who knows his city well, and asked him what it's like to cover the news at the police station.
The police beat is dead in Milwaukee because there is so little major crime. Milwaukee police reporters are driven by boredom into playing cards, even canasta, and sometimes to drink. The city is too pure for my taste.
So, in too pure Milwaukee, we look in on the police court. Judge Harvey L. Nealon has two persons charged with vagrancy before him. The arresting officer states the facts in the case.
Your Honor, at 1:30 Saturday afternoon, March 31st, we made an investigation at the hotel room 101, where the room which the defendants occupied, found questioning a female defendant. She is without employment, without funds, and no place to stay. She ran up a bill for the amount of $38.70 there. Questioned the young man. He's a local boy, and he is without employment and without funds.
Have they been living in the same room?
He was there in the capacity of a visitor.
Now, Miller, how long did you know this boy?
Since November.
You've never been arrested before.
No.
This boy, see, you're Ralph, you're 26? And did you tell Miller about your previous arrest record? You just got out on parole last October.
I was working up until last week.
You're not working now?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Every plant in town has a sign-up saying men wanted. If a 26-year-old boy isn't working today, it's because he doesn't want to work. You haven't any money now at all. Why not leave me sentence you 90 days under a Huber Act, and the sheriff will get you a job, and then you'll spend your work daytimes and spend your nights in jail.
By now, our microphone has gathered up most of its voices for you. But there's a disturbing unanimity. Isn't there anyone in this city of 633,000 people with a gripe? Critical of something about Milwaukee? There must be. There always is. We're advised to look up Frank Kirkpatrick, a wealthy builder. We find him, and we tell him that he's been described to us as the opposition in Milwaukee.
Well, you flatter me by calling me the opposition. Now, it's actually true that I have considerable respect for a mayor's competence. But he sometimes forgets that he's just the mayor. I think the police chief, his chief postings are right, too. By and large, we sort of run our own city. We don't often let the mayor or the common council or a newspaper editor or a commentator either tell us how to run it. We have many of the faults and virtues of a small town. If you want to know the truth, we do a lot of talking. And there, I think, is the secret of Milwaukee. We don't call it talking so much in Milwaukee. We call it coffee catching. One reason we have so many taverns, I guess more than any other city in the country. Like most people who get together and talk a lot, we sort of resent anyone who puts himself above the law or tries to. So in Milwaukee, that law violator gets reported promptly to the police. And if the police should fail to do anything, well, the police would get talked about. I've heard them get talked about. And we get action. But if an alderman or the fire and police commissioners or the mayor or somebody didn't heed the talking, they'd get talked about too. And come election time, somebody else who did heed the talking would probably go in office.
We find that even our single opposition agrees with what other citizens of Milwaukee have told us. We've heard a lot of explanations and theories for Milwaukee's low crime and gambling rate. We've been told, keep the chief out of politics, protect the cop against pressure, and the lapses will be few. We've heard how it was the early settler and socialism that set the city straight, that it takes a nonpartisan government to assure honest officials, that a vigilant press helps keep the people alert, that you may have to batter down doors and shame the offenders, but that good government creates a tradition and you expect it to continue. Milwaukee doesn't have all the answers, and the situation in your city may be quite different. But in Milwaukee, we found what it was that J. Edgar Hoover meant when he said,
one thing is certain. In those communities where public opinion is enlightened and aroused, crime is at a minimum. In such communities, crime has not become entrenched. It does not enjoy unholy alliances with those in public office. It does not have the protection of the very forces who have a sworn duty to exterminate it. Law enforcement is only as effective as the citizens demand. That is fundamental. The ultimate responsibility for a crime-free community rests at home.
Mm-hmm. You have just heard Program 17 in the CBS series Hear It Now, a document for air based on the week's news. Hear It Now is edited and produced by Edward R. Murrow and Fred W. Friendly, and a CBS staff which includes Edmund Scott, John Aaron, Jesse Zausmer, Irving Gitlin, and Joseph Wershberg. Portions of the program originated at WTOP, Washington, WEEI, Boston, WGAR, Cleveland, WBT, Charlotte, North Carolina, WMSC, Columbia, South Carolina, WBBM, Chicago, WISN, Milwaukee, and the Voice of America. Combat recordings were made in Korea by CBS correspondents John Jefferson and George Herman, and by Armed Forces combat correspondents. Special acknowledgement is made to the Communications Center at the University of North Carolina. Edward R. Murrow can be heard over most of the CBS stations Monday through Friday at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Olin Tice speaking.
Combat casualties and the need to staff hospitals and training centers have put a strain on the nursing staffs of the Army, Navy, and Air Force. If you are a registered nurse between 21 and 45 and are not now in a key civilian position, you can volunteer for the military nursing services. Write or wire the Office of the Surgeon General, Washington 25, D.C. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.